அண்ணாமலையாயடியேனை ஆண்டவந்தே ஆவியுடல் கொண்டாயன கோர் குறையுண்டோ குறையும் குணமும் நீயல்லால் எண்ணே நிவற்றை தென்னுயிரே எண்ணம் எதுவாது செய்வாய் கண்ணே உந்தம் கழையினையில்
Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Arunachala Ramanaya. Today I'm going to be talking about verse 7 of Arunachala Navamani Malai. As I mentioned in earlier verses in this series, verses 4, 5, 6 and 7 are all prayers. So this is the fourth and final verse in which Bhagavan, or prayer in this set of nine miscellaneous verses. This is a very, very beautiful prayer, as you will see. The verse consists of five sentences in all, so I'll go through sentence by sentence. In the first sentence, Bhagavan sings, Anamalayai adiyene andavandre aviyudal kondai. What that means is he's addressing Anamalai. Anamalai is another name of Arunachala. So Anamalai, the very day you took charge of me, this slave, you took possession of soul and body. There are a few words here that are worth explaining. Firstly, adiyene. Adiyane is a adiya means a devotee, a slave or a servant. Adiyane is a first person plural form of that. So when Bhagavan refers to himself as adiyane, he refers to himself actually in the accusative, adiyane. So it means me, this slave, is the implication. But it's all one word in Tamil. So slave here means slave in the sense of devotee or servant, slave. We can take it in any way. The next word is a very, very significant word, anda. Anda is a relative or adjectival participle of the verb al, which is a verb that Bhagavan uses frequently throughout Arunachala Stuti Panchakam. It is a very deeply meaningful verb. There's no one word or phrase in English that captures fully the meaning of it, but I generally translate it as take charge of, because that seems to me to convey the various shades of meaning most effectively in English. That is, when we take charge of something, we are not only taking control of it, we are also taking responsibility for it, and we're taking care of it. For example, if a child is orphaned, a relative or some other well-wisher may take charge of that child. That means they take full responsibility for the welfare and the happiness of the child. They take them into their home, they give them a good education, and they treat them as their own child. So they are in charge of that child. But in charge doesn't mean they're there just to control the child. They are there to, they take on responsibility for the welfare and happiness of the child. Or in another sense, in another way we use in charge in English, someone can be in charge of a government department or a section of a company or of a whole company or of a bank branch or something. For example, a bank manager is in charge of that bank, that particular branch of the bank. Being in charge means not only is he in control of that, but he's also responsible that it functions well and that everything goes smoothly. So being in charge of something conveys both the sense of being in control of, at being responsible for, and also taking care of. So it's that is why I feel this taking charge comes closest in English to conveying the full sense of the Tamil verb "al," which definitely means ruling or controlling, but it also means caring for, taking responsibility for. So Bhagavan often prays to Arunachala. For example, in there are so many in Akshamra, he uses this verb in so many of the verses, but I'll just give one example. In verse 19 of Akshramlai, Bhagavan sings, Kutra Mutraritene Gunamai Panital Guru Vuru Vayali Arunachala. That means Arunachala, who shine as the form of Guru. So Bhagavan is here directly saying Arunachala is Guru. And what is the function of Guru? That is what he says in the first part of the verse. Kutram means defects. Kutram mutru means all defects, or completely. Mutram means entirely, or completely. Kutram mutru arutu, destroying all my defects, all my defects entirely. Of ene gunamai panitu, making me gunam. Gunam means good quality. Here it's obviously he's not making Bhagavan into a good quality. He's making that Bhagavan is asking him to bestow upon him, make him a person of good qualities. Of course, the root of all good qualities, the basis of all good qualities, is the non-rising of ego. To the extent that ego subsides, to that extent it is good. So to be truly virtuous, we need to not rise as ego. So bestowing all good qualities implies the bestow upon me that state of non-rising of ego. And then the main verb is al, take charge of me. So he's, the meaning of the whole verse is Arunachala, who shine as the form of Guru, take charge, destroying all my defects entirely and making me virtuous, making me one of good quality. So like that, in so many verses, Bhagavan is using this verb al. That is, he's repeatedly praying to Arunachala to take charge of him. God takes charge of us to the extent to which we surrender ourselves to him. So surrender and taking charge, these are the two sides. Our responsibility is to surrender to him. His responsibility is to take charge of us. But he will take charge of us only to the extent that we surrender to him. And we can surrender ourselves to him only to the extent he takes charge of us. So it's we can't say which is the cause and which is the effect. They have the same process. That is, to the extent we surrender, he takes charge. To the extent he takes charge, we are surrendering. So they are, because the truth is, God is not other than ourselves. God is our own self. So the more we yield ourselves to God, the more he takes charge of us. And in Nana, for example, Bhagavan says, in the 13th paragraph, in the second sentence of the 13th paragraph, after defining what is giving ourselves to God, being so firmly, what he says in the first sentence is, Anma chintane tavira, vera chintane kalambaradaku, satram idam kodamal, apmanishta paranai iripade, tannai isanaku alipadam. The main clause there is Atmanishta Paranai Iripde Tannai Isanaku Alipadam. That means being Atmanishta Paran. Atmanishta Paran means one who's firmly established as oneself. In other words, one who's firmly abiding as one's own real nature. Alone is giving oneself to God. So how to be Atmanishta Paran? That is implied in the first clause, which is an adverbial clause. Anma Chintane Tavira, accept Atma Chintana. Apmachintana literally means thought of oneself. It implies self-attentiveness. Except self-attentiveness, vera chintana, all other thoughts, kalamba vitku satram idavum kadama, without giving the slightest room to arising of any other thoughts except apmachintana, except self-attentiveness. So we need to be so keenly self-attentive that we thereby give no room to arising of other thoughts. That is being firmly established as ourself, and that is giving ourself to God. So that's what he says in the first sentence of the 13th paragraph. Then in the next sentence he says, because that is basically what Bhagavan is asking us here, is to cling firmly to self, so firmly to self-attentiveness that we don't think of anything else at all. We may feel, oh, but I've got so many responsibilities, there's so many things I need to think of. How can I be clinging to self-attentiveness when I've got so many other things that I need to attend to? So Bhagavan gives us an assurance in the next sentence. That is, when we are giving ourselves to God, we're giving all responsibility to Him. And he says in the next sentence, Isan peril evalavu barate potalam avaleveyum ava vahitu kolkira. However much burden we place upon God, He bears all of that. He will bear that much burden. So we can put even the burden of thinking upon Him. We are to surrender our mind, speech, and body entirely to Him, and He will take charge of them, and He will do what is necessary. That is why in this sentence, first sentence of this verse, Anamalayai Adiyene Andavandre Avyudal Kondai, he says, the very day you took charge of me, you took possession of my soul and body. My soul and body implies, the Avi means soul, but it implies the mind. So Avyudal, though he mentions only soul and body, it implies mind, speech, and body. So we are to surrender ourselves entirely to Him. Let Him take charge of our mind, speech, and body. When we surrender to Him, He takes charge of us. He also takes possession of our mind, speech, and body. So whatever actions need to be done by our mind, speech, or body, He will make them do. So we hand over responsibility entirely to Him. As Bhagavan says in the first sentence of the note that he wrote for his mother, avarava prarabdha prakaram adakarnavan angangirindu artavipan. Avarava prarabdha prakaram means in accordance with or according to the prarabdha of each one, adakarnavan, he who is for that, that means God or Guru, angangirindu, being there, that means being in each place, implying being in the heart of each one of them, artavipan, will make them dance or make them act. So our mind, speech, and body will be made to do whatever actions they need to do in order for our prarabdha to unfold. So if we surrender ourselves completely to Him, the mind, speech, and body will still do whatever they are meant to do in accordance with prarabdha. But we won't be interfering. We won't be rising and misusing our mind, speech, and body by trying to make them act according to our will. We surrender ourselves completely to His will. We hand over charge of our mind, speech, and body by giving ourselves entirely to Him. And we just give ourselves entirely to Him by clinging firmly to self-attentiveness. And to the extent that we give ourselves to Him, to that extent He takes charge of us. So there is so much implication in this. Though this is a very simple sentence, there's so much deep spiritual implication in this. And Anamale, the very day you took charge of me, this slave, you took possession of soul and body. That means it implies you took possession of my soul and body. The my is implied there, but it's not specified. So that's the first sentence. Then in the next sentence, he is a rhetorical question. Enaku or kure undo? Is there any deficiency for me? The word that I translate here as deficiency is kure. Kure has, a range of meanings. The exact meaning will vary slightly according to the context. So kure can mean imperfection. It can mean deficiency or want or lack. It can mean a need. It can mean dissatisfaction or grievance. Is there any dissatisfaction? Is there any kure for me? Is there any do I have any imperfection? Do I have any deficiency? Do I have any need or want? Or is there any dissatisfaction or grievance? There cannot be. Why? Because once you've given yourself entirely to God and He's taken charge, there's no one left to complain about anything. He is free to, we have given ourselves entirely to Him. He has taken charge of us. So we have no, there's no one left to question anything or to feel any deficiency or imperfection or need or want or dissatisfaction or grievance. So our surrender to Him needs to be so complete, but we expect absolutely nothing of Him. We give ourselves entirely to Him. You do with me as you will. That is the implication here. So the Bhagavan is describing the state of complete surrender here. When we surrender ourselves completely to Him, He takes charge of us. He takes our body, mind and speech, body, speech and mind as His, and He takes full charge of us. So when such is the case, where is the room for any grievance or any deficiency or wrong or any imperfection? That is, when we've handed ourselves over to Him, we cannot even feel, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm so imperfect. We've handed ourselves over to Him. It's whether we are perfect or imperfect, that's in His hands. It's nothing to do with us. Of course, when we have surrendered ourselves completely to Him, that itself is the state of perfection. There's no question of any imperfection once He has taken charge of us. So this word kure has so many shades of meaning, and we can all the various shades of meaning of kure are applicable in this case. It can mean, is there any imperfection for me? Is there any deficiency for me? Any need, any want, or any dissatisfaction or any grievance? So that is the second sentence. Then the next sentence is a very, very, in a few words, Bhagavan packs a lot of meaning. The sentence is, Kureyum gunamum niyalal enain ivatrei. What that literally means is, again, he uses the word kure. Kure, as I say, it means, it can mean imperfection. It also means flaws or faults or defects or impurities or vices. And gunam means the opposite. Gunam means all the good qualities. So kure is in this context, is the opposite of gunam. Gunam is everything good, everything virtuous, all good qualities. And kure is all bad qualities, all imperfections, faults, defects, impurities, or vices. Kureyum gunamum, defects and qualities, we can translate it, but as I say, the word defects, it covers so many things, and qualities cover so many things. Here he's using kure in a slightly different sense to the sense in the previous sentence. There's a certain overlap in the two senses, but here it's more about the imperfections, the flaws, the faults, defects, impurities, or vices. Here it's used more in that sense rather than in the sense of deficiency or want or dissatisfaction. So, kureyum gunamum, defects and qualities, niyalal, except you, I do not think, enain ivatrei, I do not think of them. So what is the implication of this? The implication is that, that is, this niyalal we can take in two senses. Kureyum gunamum niyalal, we can take that to mean the defects and qualities cannot exist independent of you, or they cannot be other than you. So so the implication is, except you, there are no, there are neither defects nor qualities. There's neither good nor bad, nothing except you. That is one way of taking it. Nihilal, that is, Nihilal comes in the middle of the sentence. It can either be, well, it can be connected both with Kuriyam Gunamum to mean defects and qualities do not exist or cannot be other than you, cannot be other than you, there are no qualities or defects is the implication. That is, you alone exist, there are no defects or qualities. So, or if at all there are defects or qualities, they cannot be anything other than you. They cannot exist independent of you. So when we connect Nihilal with the Kuriyam Gunamum, that's the sense. We can also and should also connect Nihilal with Enne Nivatray. So Nihilal Enne Nivatray means I do not think of them, but only of you. So that is that Alal, we can, Nihilal here means, when we connect with the Enne Nivatray means I do not think of them. Nihilal means, but only of you. Kuriyam Gunamum Nihilal means Kuriyam Gunam do not cannot exist independent of you. So, as I say, the exact meaning of the sentence is defects and qualities except you, I do not think of them. But what this implies is, if I expand it, since the Kuriyam Gunam cannot exist independent of you or is other than you, I do not think of them, but only of you. So in these few, it's just six words, Bhagavan has packed so much meaning there. And he's used the middle two words, Nihilal, can and should be connected both with the first two words and with the last two words. They serve a double function in that sentence. This is the beauty of Bhagavan's Tamil poetry. He packs so much deep meaning and implication into so few words. And then the next sentence, the fourth sentence, he says, he addresses Arunachala, Ennuire, that means my life. That implies life. Uir means life or soul. In this context, it implies my real nature. So he's addressing Arunachala as his life, as his soul. That implying, my real nature. So that is, Arunachala is our own reality, our own, what we actually are, our real nature. That is Arunachala. So he addresses Arunachala as Ennuire, my life, my soul, my very nature. Ennam eduvo adusevai. Ennam means thought. Eduvo means whatever. Adu means that, and sevai means do. So the implication is, whatever be thought, do that. So whatever be your thought, intention or wish, do that. In other words, this is a way of saying, thy will be done. Whatever be your will, do that. I no longer have any say in the matter. I completely surrendered my will to you. As he says in the second verse of Arunachala Patikam, Ninishtam Enishtam, your will is my will. Imbedaku, that is happiness for me. Imbu means happiness. Adu means that, Eku is to me. So again, Bhagavan packs so much into just a, Imbedaku means that is happiness for me. Here Bhagavan is saying, whatever you think of, whatever you wish, whatever you want to do with me, it's entirely up to you. Do whatever be your wish or your intention or your thought, do that. I've got no I've got no preference or likes or dislikes. I leave everything entirely to you. I have surrendered myself to you. You've taken charge of me. I leave everything to you. But in the final line, he asks, there's only one thing he asks for. This is the real prayer, but this is the ultimate prayer. Kanne undran karalineil kadal peruke taruvaye. He addresses Arunachala as Kanne. Kan means eye. I means the EYE, the physical organ, the organ of sight. He addresses Arunachala as eye. That has two implications. Kanne is often used in Tamil to address someone who is very, very dear to you. The implication is someone who is more dear to you than your own eyes. There is the famous story in the Periya Puranam of the great Saint Kanapa, who was a hunter. And this is a beautiful story because this will illustrate the sense in which this word Kanne is used. That is, Kanapa was a hunter. And he was living in the forests and hunting wild animals and living on the meat of those animals. And as were the rest of his tribe or his group of people. But one day when he was hunting in the forest, he came across a small temple in which there was a Shiva Linga, in which he saw there were some flowers were draped over it, and some cloth was there, but wind had blown, so the flowers were a bit awry, they weren't well placed, and the cloth was also blown aside, and maybe some leaves from the forest were also blown in. So it was looking very, flowers were a little bit withered, so it was looking derelict and neglected. So as soon as he saw that Shiva Linga, so much love welled up in his heart, and he felt so sorry for that linga. For the Shiva in the form of that linga, he wanted to take care of it. So first he thought that it needs a bath. So he wanted to bring water to give it a bath. But, and he also wanted to offer something for it to eat. So he took the meat that he had from the animal that he had just hunted, and he cooked that meat and he tasted it. That is a thing you should never do before. Offering food to God, you should never taste it. So everything he did was against the rules, so to speak, against the rules of orthodoxy. So he tasted that meat and then he offered it to God. But before offering food, he wanted to give bath to God. So he wanted to bring water, but he had no container to bring water in. So he went to the nearby stream. He took a mouthful of water. And with a mouthful of water, he came, and he put the water over the linga. Then he offered this meat that he had just chewed to the linga. That was his offering. There was a priest from a nearby village who came and did puja to that temple every day. So he was the one who had put the cloth and the flowers. So when he came the next morning and saw this desecration, animal flesh was there placed in front of a linga, he was horrified. So he cleaned it all. He did abhishekam, pouring water from a nice brass vessel over the linga, and he put on fresh cloth and put on fresh garlands and everything. And he went home. In the afternoon, Kanapa came there. And seeing the condition of this, he thought this isn't appropriate. He hadn't been given proper food. That is, a proper food is meat. From a perspective of Kanapa, this offering of fruits and coconuts and things, this isn't proper offering. It should be a proper meal should consist of meat, in his view. So he again did as he did the previous day. He washed the linga with water from his mouth, and he offered the meat after cooking it and tasting it and offering it. So the next day when the priest came, again he saw the linga was desecrated. So, in his view, desecrated. So he decided to hide in a tree to see what was happening. And when he was in the tree watching what was happening, he saw Kanapa coming. He saw him taking a mouthful of water from the stream, pouring it over the linga. He saw him cooking the meat and chewing it and offering it to the linga. He was horrified. But Lord Shiva restrained him from and just, I don't know, I can't remember the exact details of the story. Maybe Lord Shiva said, wait and see. And then in that linga, there were two eyes. Or in the view of Kanapa, there were two eyes in the linga. And from one of the eyes, blood started to come. So he tried to stop that bleeding. He got some herbs that he chewed and he applied them to the eye, but still blood was coming from the eye. Then it occurred to him, the only way to repair this eye is an eye for an eye. So he plucked out one of his eyes and he put it there. And then the bleeding stopped. But then bleeding started from the other eye. So he then took his arrow and was about to remove his second eye to put it there. But in order to remove his second eye, how does he know the right place to put it? So he put his foot on the linga, he put his toe on in the spot where the eye was, and he began to gouge out his own eye. And then Lord Shiva appeared and put a stop to it. But this was a great lesson for that priest. But though everything can, according to the rule book, according to the Shaivagamas, the scriptures that describe how a linga should be worshipped, everything Kanapa was doing was wrong. He was putting the water in his mouth and virtually spitting it over the linga. He was tasting the, he was offering meat, which is apachara, which is a wrong thing to do. He tasted the meat before offering it, and eventually he even put his foot on the linga to know the location of the eye. But the priest, when he saw this, he understood that this crude, rough hunter, this barbarian, has so much love that he's ready to sacrifice his own eye. Then he understood the true meaning of Shiva Bhakti, of true devotion to Shiva. So that is the story of Kanapa. So Kanapa was, Shiva was more dear to Kanapa than his own eyes. So he was literally ready to pluck out his own eyes to offer to Lord Shiva. So the word kanne here in this verse, one implication is when he addresses Arunacha as kanne, but he's the dearest of the dearest. He's dearer to him than his own eyes. That is one implication. Another implication, kan is often used as a metaphor. For example, in verse 4 of Uludunapadu, Bhagavan talks about the eye. In that context, eye is a metaphor for awareness. What Bhagavan says in verse 4 of Uludunapadu is... Uruvum tanayin uluhu paramatran. If oneself is a form, the world and gold will be likewise. Uruvum tan andrel uvatrin uruvate kanurudal yavan evan. If oneself is not a form, who can see their forms and how? Kannalal kakshiondo. Can the kakshi, what is seen, be other than the eye that sees it? In other words, the implication here is, that's what it literally means, but the implication is, can what is seen be otherwise than the eye that sees it? In other words, can it be of a different nature to the eye that sees it? So if the eye that sees, if we limit ourselves as the form of a body, we see only forms. We see everything as forms. When we don't limit ourselves as a form of a body, when we don't take ourselves to be a form, who can see any forms and how? It's only when we mistake ourselves to be a form that we see other forms. So forms appear only when we limit ourselves as a form. So the eye means the awareness, that which is aware. So if the perceiver, the one who is aware, is a form, it will see only form. So ego always limits itself to the form of a body. So as ego, we always see forms. But then in the last line, he says, kan adutan antamila kan. The I, that implies the real I, the real awareness, alone is, that is oneself, tan, that is oneself, antamila kan, the infinite I. Antamila means without limit, without any limit, so the infinite I. So I here he's using as a metaphor for awareness. So in this case, when he addresses as Arunachala as Kanne, it not only means beloved, but also means my real awareness. In the previous sentence, he addressed Arunachala as Ennuire, my life, implying my real nature. He's implying my real awareness. That is that which is always shining in my heart as I. That is Arunachala. So he's addressing that. That is the light that gives light to our mind. So the eye to the mind eye, as he says in the final verse of Anma Vidde, he describes in Anma Vidde, he says talking about anamale, our real nature. He says, kannadi porikum, to the senses beginning with I. In other words, to the five senses, the eye to the five senses, kannam manam, the mind which is the eye to the five senses beginning with the eye, manakannukum manakanukum kannai. That is, Arunachala is the eye to the mind eye, which is the eye to the five senses. So the fundamental awareness that illumines the mind is Arunachala. That the mind in turn illumines the five senses. That is, the five senses shine by the light of the mind, which shines by the original light, which is by the original eye, which is Arunachala. And there's also in this connection another very important verse in Aksharamlai, Kannuku Kannai Kanindri Kanune Kanu Vadevapa Arunachala. He addresses Arunachala, being the eye to the eye. That is, he is the ultimate eye, the ultimate awareness. Kannuku kannai, kanindri kanune. You who see, who being the eye to the eye, sees without eyes. Kanavadu ever pa. That is, kanavadu ever. Who can see? Who can see you? Who, being the eye to the eye, see without eyes. And then he prays to Arunachala, Pa, see. He's praying to Arunachala to see him. I said all this just to explain this one word, Kanne, because there's so much meaning. Every word Bhagavan uses, so much meaning and implication is there. So Kanne means both the dearest of the dearest, and our own awareness, the fundamental awareness that gives light to the mind, that is the fundamental, the pure awareness I am. That he addresses Arunachala as Kan, I, and then the most important thing is the prayer. Undran karalineil, that means literally, it means in your pair of feet. It implies for your pair of feet. Undran your karal feet, inail pair, in your pair of feet or for your pair of feet. Kadal peruke taruvaye. Tarubaya means just give. Peruke, only a flood. A flood of what? A flood of love for your feet. Only give me a, that is, you do whatever be your thought, you do that. Only one thing I ask of you, give me a flood of love for your feet. Here, flood implies that word peruku, it means a flood, an overflow, fullness, abundance, or a surge, or increasing intensity. So give me an ever-increasing intensity of love for your feet. I ask for nothing else. Give me that alone. So this verse is the ultimate prayer. That is, Bhagavan, he starts off with expressing the state of complete surrender. That is, Arunachala will take charge of us when we surrender ourselves. When we surrender ourselves to him, that the very moment we surrender ourselves to him, he will take charge of us. So, as he said, the very day you took charge of me, though he said the very day, it's not, a day here means the very moment, the very time, the very moment you took charge of me, you took possession of my soul and body. That implies my mind, speech and body, you took possession of them. So there's nothing left for me. You've taken everything. You've taken my very soul, you have taken, along with my mind, speech and body. You've taken everything. So when you've taken everything, what deficiency, what kure is there for me? What imperfection is there? What deficiency, what need or want or dissatisfaction or grievance can there be? There's nothing. I've got nothing to complain about. I've given everything to you. You've taken everything. You're in charge of me. So there's no I to rise to complain about anything or to lament about my imperfections. And then in the next sentence, he says, the imperfections, the defects, and the qualities do not exist apart from you. They cannot be anything other than you. You alone exist. There's nothing else except you. So except you, there's no kuri or gunam. So I do not think of them, but of you alone. This is a very, very deep clue for the practice. We shouldn't be thinking about anything other than that is, when we are trying to be self-attentive, our whole attention should be on ourself alone. We shouldn't be lamenting, as Bhagavan says in Nana, in the 10th paragraph, he says, Oruvun evlu papia irandalam. However great a sinner one may be, nan papia irikarene, epidi kare era pokirin endrengi aradu kondiramo. Without lamenting and weeping, oh, I'm such a great sinner, how can I be saved? Tan papi ennum enneteum arave oritu. Completely giving up the thought that one is a sinner. That is what Bhagavan says here, not thinking about the kure or the gunam. Whether I'm a good person or a bad person, it doesn't matter. Give up even the thought, I'm a good person or a bad person. Completely giving up the thought that one is a sinner. Sarupa dhyanatil ukumai ulavanai irandal. If one is one who is firmly, who is steadfast in swarupa dhyana, in self-attentiveness, ava nichyamai urupadivan, he will certainly be saved. He will certainly be reformed or transformed. So when we are following Bhagavan's path of self-investigation and self-surrender, we shouldn't think of anything other than Arunachala. Arunachala is that which is always shining in our heart as I. So we shouldn't think of anything other, we shouldn't attend to any, we shouldn't give room in our heart for anything other than self-attentiveness. As Bhagavan said in that first sentence of the 13th paragraph, anmachintane tavira, except atmachintana. Atmachintana means the same as swarupa dhyana, self-attentiveness. Except atmachintana, vera chintane Kalamba Vitaku Satum Idum Kadamo. We shouldn't think about anything else. We shouldn't even think about our good qualities, our bad qualities. We shouldn't think about anything. We should think only, we should cling firmly only to self-attentiveness. So this is what that is what Bhagavan says in this third sentence, Kureyam Gunamum Niyalal Enne Nivatrei, which implies since the defects and the qualities cannot be other than you, cannot exist independent of you, or cannot be other than you because you alone exist, I do not think of them but only of you. So we should be so, thinking of Arunachala means thinking of I, because Arunachala is that which is always dancing in our hearts as I, as Bhagavan says in the second verse of Arunachala, Arunachala Pancharatnam. So we should be so keenly self-attentive, we should be focusing, that is, it is good to think of the outward name and form of Arunachala, but the purpose of the outward name and form of Arunachala is to turn us within. So the true Arunachala Dhyanam, the true meditation on Arunachala is only self-attentiveness. Being self-attentiveness is truly thinking of Arunachala. So we should be so keenly self-attentive, but we don't think of anything else. So that's the third sentence. And then in the fourth sentence, he again expresses the state of complete surrender. My life, whatever be your thought, do that. Your will be done, not my will. Your will, I have no will of my own. I've given my will entirely to you, along with my soul and body and everything else. You've taken possession of them. You now do whatever you wish. So how the Atma-vichara and the Atma-samarpanam, the self-investigation and the self-surrender, they're so seamlessly and intricately interwoven by implication in this verse. That is, this is a verse of complete surrender and also giving clues to how that complete surrender is achieved by self-investigation, by thinking of nothing other than I, by attending only to ourself and not thinking about whether we're a good person or bad person, whether we have wants or needs or deficiencies or anything. Don't think of anything. Think of him alone. Think of I alone. Tend to I alone. And let him do, let everything else let him take care of. Our only aim is to attend to I. But in order to attend to I, we need all-consuming love. So in the final sentence, Bhagavan prays for that. You do whatever you want, whatever be your wish, you do that, but give me ever-increasing love for your pair of feet. His pair of feet is that which is always shining in our heart as I. So that love for his pair of feet is the mark, well, or the evidence of our love for him is the extent to which we attend to I. To the extent to which we have love for him, to that extent we will attend to him. And since he is that which is shining in our heart as I, we will be thinking of our self-attentiveness, that is the true expression of our love for him. And in order to hold on to that self-attentiveness so firmly that we don't give room to the rising of any other thought, that requires all-consuming love. And that is the love that Bhagavan prays for here. So he ends by saying, Kanneyundran Karalineo Kardal Peruke Tarubaye. Give me a surge of, a flood of love. That is, that love must, we must be carried away with that love. All our other, that is, that flood of love for him alone will wash away the dirt of all our Vishaya Vasanas. That is, in order to overcome all our Vishaya Vasanas, all our inclinations to attend to anything other than ourselves, we need all-consuming love to attend to him. And that flood of love to attend to him, to hold on to self-attentiveness, that will wash away the dirt of all our Vishaya Vasanas along with their root ego. So that love is, as Bhagavan often said, bhakti is the mother of jnana. There can be, we cannot attain this, we cannot return home, we cannot return to our natural state, we cannot remain in that natural state of just being without all-consuming love. And that is the love that Bhagavan prays for here. So this is such a beautiful verse. Anamalai adiene andavandreya viudal kondai. Anamalai, the very day you took charge of me, this slave, you took possession of soul and body. Enaku kure or kure undo. Is there any deficiency? Is there any imperfection or want or grievance or dissatisfaction for me? Defects and qualities do not exist apart from you. So I do not think of them, but of you alone. En kureyum gunamum ni allal en nei nivatre. Ennuire ennam meduo adusevai. My life, whatever be your thought, do that. Kaneyundran karale neil kardal peruke taruvaye. My very I, my own, my most beloved, my own real awareness, kanne. Undran karalineil kardal peruke taruvaye. Just give me, taruvaye, the A means just give me, peruke, only that, or just that flood of love for your 2 feet. Om namo bhagavate sri arunachala ramanaya.